Ever have one of those days where you're just like every freaking thing goes wrong? You have 10 trillion things you need to do, must do. There's a deadline and nothing goes right. Like absolutely everything that can go wrong does go wrong. Nothing goes as planned. Everything that you've expected would take 10 minutes takes an hour. I haven't just had one of those days. I've had like three of those days in a row. But I promise this is going to be a fun episode because there's a story I need to tell you. All right, please put your seatbelt on. Thanks for joining me here on The Chalene Show. Let's do this. I'm just leaving right now to go to the gym. It is 4 o'clock on a Tuesday. You're listening to this on Wednesday. I normally do not work out this late. I'm working out this late because, as I said in the intro, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong in the last 3 days, which has put me further and further and further behind. Just such a nightmare. It's such a nightmare because the main reason why it's such a nightmare is because I have, like, I work for my team. You know what I mean? Like, everyone on my team has assignments that they give me, and I'm 3 days behind. And last night I stayed up until 1 o'clock in the morning. I know, don't cry me a river because, you know, I have lots of blessings too, but blessed, I absolutely am not feeling very blessed today. I'm feeling very annoyed with a capital A that ends with a D and an exclamation mark. Just like everything, like I feel like technology, the internet went down. We have no Wi-Fi where we live. So I couldn't freaking do anything anyways. It's just like one thing after another. I don't even want to get into it because it'll make me so angry. And I'm driving to the gym and I'm going to feel a lot better. Like I'm going to turn my phone off. I mean, I'm not going to turn my phone off. I'm going to turn off all notifications. I'm going to open up Spotify and I'm going to play the new Nicki Minaj LP, which is Black Friday 2. And I'm going to pretend I'm her because that's what I do. She is my alter ego. I'm obsessed. This LP is so good and it's sassy. And she's just like, don't F with me. And that's the energy I need right now. So I'm driving down. We're in Miami Beach. And I'm driving down a little place that's called, or street that's called MacArthur Causeway. And on my right side is all of the cruise ships. They are so freaking huge. It blows my mind when you see them. You're like, how is it possible they don't sink? And of course, that is an ADHD rabbit hole. So I did, for sure, when we moved here, I had to spend like probably 3 hours watching YouTube videos to understand how is it these things don't sink? Please, I don't get it. And now I kind of understand it. Like, I couldn't build a ship. I don't know if I could explain it to you, but my brain understands it. It's a physics thing. Anyways, we were driving this way yesterday and I filmed Brett because he hates cruising so much. And guess what? I don't like it either. I don't. No. So he rolled down the window and he was just being funny. He rolled down the window and he was like yelling at all the people that are on the cruise ships because they're like just leaving the port, you know, and everybody's on the deck waving, bye, bon voyage, you know, like there's like if you're a little kid and you're getting on one of these cruise ships, the whole upper deck is like a water park. There's like wild slides and pools and it look like if you're a kid, oh my gosh, so freaking fun. Like we took our kids on the Disney cruise. Anyways, we're driving down the street and Brett rolls down the window to be funny. He's yelling, jump, everybody get off. You're going to have a horrible time. He's yelling at all the people on the cruise, right? Of course, I can't hear him, but he's being funny. And I videotaped him and I posted up to my stories. And I knew, you know, a good 25% of my audience loves to cruise. Do you love to cruise? Or would you rather stick a fork in your eye? I would rather stick a fork in my eye. Now, was it so fun with my kids taking them on the Disney cruise? Yes, loved it. But I didn't love the tiny little cabin. I don't like being, I can get motion sick, so that wasn't fun. I don't like being in confined spaces. I don't like being forced to be around lots and lots of people. I don't like not having so much variety in terms of like food and everything else. And yeah, I mean, it was amazing for the kids. So take your kids on the Disney cruise. I would recommend that, yes. But after that, then I only have ever done one other cruise, and it was when I was with Beachbody, and this is like way, way, way back in the early days, you know, so all the coaches were on this cruise, and Beachbody then, like, they really kind of, the network marketing piece was new, so for some people don't even realize that Beachbody didn't used to be a network marketing company. They were just an infomercial company. They just sold fitness DVDs. And then, I don't know what year, but at a certain point, they switched over to multi-level marketing. Well, I had been with them like long before that, right? And so now we're on this cruise, and it was very different because the people who were on the cruise now were coaches. They weren't like customers, they were coaches, which meant that they, it's interesting, they sometimes they want to take a picture of you because they, you know, it helps with their business, I guess. But they don't necessarily like you as a trainer. Like, maybe they love Shanti, or they love, at the time, Tony Horton, or whoever, right? And so they would, you know, everybody's grabbing you trying to take a picture, even if they're not your fan. And that's kind of annoying, because then they're like, hey, Charlene, can I get a picture? And you want to go, no, because that's not my name. No. Or they'd be like, Shaylene, I want to get a picture because my mom loves you. And you're just like, I don't know. And you feel like you're just getting, I know I'm sounding like a big whiny, complainy baby, but I'm just telling you, when you're an introvert and you're stuck on this boat, you really felt like a zoo animal. I literally felt like a zoo animal. And I was kind of like nauseous the whole time. So, you know, you couldn't like go out to one of the restaurants to eat, really, because the whole boat was filled with coaches. And not that that was a bad thing, except that you couldn't eat. You know, you had to take photos the whole time, because back then they kind of didn't quite know how to like organize things so that the coaches could and the trainers could both do what they needed to do, but also do what they needed to do. You know what I'm saying? And so I spent most of the time in my room because, yeah, I didn't feel well. And then we taught workout classes in, you guys, this story is going to blow your mind, okay? I think I've told it on Patreon, but if I did, it was probably like 2 years ago. So there's lots of people who have never heard this story. I've only told the story recently with friends at dinner, and they're like, that is the most insane story I've ever heard. Okay, so I'm not feeling well. Feel like I'm going to get sick the whole time, and I have to teach turbo class on the deck of the boat. Okay, it's beating down hot sun. That's another thing I learned, is like, it looks really good, I think, on video, like for infomercials when they filmed outdoor workouts, but it's the most uncomfortable thing. I mean, think about working out in general is hot and sweaty on camera. You just sweat more when you're on camera. I don't know why, but then when you're doing it outside on camera and the sun is, you know, because you can't wear sunglasses and you can't wear a hat, so you have to just squint, and I've got super sensitive eyes, and so it's just like, I hate this, make it stop. And so we're on this deck, and it was pretty early in the morning, but it was still sunny, and what had happened was somehow I got like the times confused, like, because whatever. I don't know. I got the times confused. This was probably like even before I had an iPhone or something. I probably had a BlackBerry. And for some reason, like, my alarm didn't go off. And, you know, when you're like the trainer who has to be on the stage and you're going to have to take 10 trillion pictures, you kind of need to be cute. So I kind of need to not just wake up and jump on a stage. I need to like wake up, depuff the eyes, get a cute outfit on, hair, makeup, blah, 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 then go run out there and be on the stage. So my alarm did not go off, and suddenly we're like getting all these calls to our room, and whoever was my like handler at the time was like, Shaylene, where are you? You're supposed to be on the stage on the deck right now. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm coming. And like, I got dressed as fast as I possibly could. Now, I did not sleep well the night before because I was feeling sick. You know that feeling where you're like, if this is the flu, just come and get me, like right now. Let's go. Because it's that like waiting stage, you know what I mean? Where like you can feel that there are aliens. There's another living being in your digestive tract. and you kind of feel like you're going to throw up, but you also feel like maybe I should also stay close to the toilet. Like, I'm not sure what end this is going to come out, but like, you're like, just do something, like make it happen. Like, let's get this over with. Right? Like, and cause then you feel so much better after you get sick. Right? And so I'm in this limbo stage and I keep saying, like, I don't know how much of it is like psychosomatic too. Probably was. It's probably a lot of psychosomatic. But I'm also like, do I have food poisoning? Is this motion sickness? Is this E. coli? Like, I'm also afraid of getting sick because I'm on this ship with all these people. And I'm also just like kind of miserable. And I'm getting dressed as fast as I possibly can. And I hadn't slept well the night before. And I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like so confused. And like, oh my God, I got to run out this door. And so I run out the door as fast as I can. And I'm running to the, you know, place where I'm supposed to do this workout for all these people. And there's like this huge crowd of coaches to do this workout. I think I had a couple girls up on the stage, and including my sister. And I remember I looked at my sister. I got up on the stage. I'm like, hi guys. And like, they're all waiting because I'm late. Like, this is a reoccurring night. Like, this is the reoccurring nightmare. If you've ever been a fitness instructor, at least for me anyways, all the years I did fitness in teaching, I always had this dream that I missed my alarm and I'm running to the gym and there's all these people waiting for me and they're like pissed. And like three quarters of them have left and the manager's there to write me up and fire me in front of all these people. But then they're like, okay, start your class. But I can't start my class because I don't have my shoes. And then somebody in the front row gives me their shoes, but they're like too big and they're flopping off my feet. And then I try to start my music, but like the music won't start and the stereo's broken. Like, this is just like this reoccurring nightmare. And it only recently did I stop having this nightmare. But on this particular morning, my nightmare was a reality. So I show up and it's like worse than just teaching at a health club. It's like, these are people who've paid to be there. These are like, this is their profession. And I'm supposed to be the most professional of all the professionals. You know what I mean? And I'm running up late and completely disheveled and feel like I'm going to puke. And they're all like, you know, waving and taking pictures. And I'm like waving and, you know, pretending like I'm super happy too. And I get up on the stage and I'm like, thank you so much for waiting, you guys. And then all of a sudden I feel like it's going to happen. Now it's going to happen. I'm going to get sick right this second in front of all these people. And I grabbed my sister and I said, I'm going to get sick. Run with me. And we both just book it running. Like, I don't even know if I even completed the sentence. I think it's just like a sisterly thing. She just knew. I'm like, I just grabbed her and we just book it running. And as I'm running, like, Brett is running with me. I'm like, find me a bathroom. And he's keeping up with me. Guess what? Everybody that was in that crowd thought that this was like a funny thing. Like, this is the warm up, because the deck of the ship is also kind of like a running track. So now everyone's chasing me and laughing and like, woo-hoo! You know, it's like, because I didn't tell them what it was. I didn't have time to explain it. I just grabbed my sister. I'm like, hey, you guys, thanks for waiting. And so all they know, they don't hear what I said to her. So all they know is like, hey, thanks for waiting. Here's the workout. And I grab my sister and start running, and they start running with me. So now I'm about to literally shit my pants or vomit or both. And I have a legion of people following me, taking pictures. So are you dying for me right now? This is a true story. This is a 1000% true story. And so I'm like yelling at, like, to my sister, like, what's going on? And so I don't know how we found a bathroom, whatever. We just like found a little, like, whatever, public, because it's on the boat. And she like is trying to guard the door, but like people are coming into the bathroom too, because it's not like a single stall. It's like multiple stalls. And I'm just literally getting so sick, like both ends, so sick. And as you do when you get sick, it was like maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And I just have to pull myself together and run back out there and pretend like nothing happened and teach the class. I really did. I'm still traumatized by it. So maybe that's why I have PTSD. I have post-traumatic cruise disorder. I have PTCD. I have PTCD from that event. It was one of the most, like, am I going to survive this? Why can't God just take me away right now? Can this all just why can't I have a magic wand? It was that kind of a situation. But, you know, I survived it. It was not fun. And then I think at that point, I was just like, Brett, get me off this boat. Please get me off this boat. He's like, okay, we're going to get you off this boat. And we were supposed to be on it for like 8 days or something. I'm like, I can't. I literally can't. And also, this is like at the height of when I was just like super, I don't know, just really uncomfortable in my role as a consumer fitness person. I just never really felt comfortable in that role. I don't know. It just was a miserable experience. And the coaches were super nice. I mean, they're wonderful. They just, you know, it's nothing anyone else did. It was just a weird situation to be in this tiny little room and feeling sick the whole time. And so Brett just went to, you know, the CEO, Carl Deichler, and he's just like, she's, you know, we've taught, I think I taught a couple classes. And then there, he's just like, she's really pretty sick. Can we get off at like the next port or whatever? So I think we did like 4 days and then we got off in some port and then flew home. I just remember just being so relieved when I got on that little dinghy boat and, you know, made it to the shore. And I was just like, you know, because when you're sick, you just want to be alone. You want to be by yourself. And the last thing you want to do is have to be on. I mean, like, really on. Like, not just a little bit on, but like your very best. You need to look your best. You need to be in a good mood. You need to perform physically. It was a nightmare, I tell ya. I'm pretty good, though, at faking it. There's probably a couple of times when I taught at health, at, you know, like at 24 Fitness, I taught for them for a million years and a bunch of other places. Lifetime. Did I teach at Lifetime? No, I never did. I taught at Renaissance and, you know, whatever. Lots of little, like, health clubs when I was doing certifications. And there are many times where I was not feeling my best or, you know, you're just like, not feeling great and you just have to fake it. There were times too when I would get, you know, you get like really bad news. Like maybe you just found out like a couple of hours earlier that, you know, a family member has cancer, but you have to teach this class and you have to be like really up and motivate people. And sometimes you just cannot get a sub. That was hard. Teaching when I was pregnant was actually, I felt the absolute best. So I don't, you know, listen, hormones are an interesting thing. And for me, I think I'm very, very sensitive to progesterone. So when my progesterone is off now as a menopausal woman, I can tell because I get low level nausea. So that usually means that my progesterone is too low for me. That's how I can tell. And so when I was pregnant, I just felt nauseous 24/7 unless I was exercising, which is really interesting because, you know, when you exercise, it shifts your hormone levels too. The whole hormone thing is, it's just so freaking fascinating, isn't it? Like, it just blows my mind how little we know about hormones. Oh, by the way, have you guys seen that so don't buy an Oura ring. I'm telling you, don't buy an Oura ring. Don't buy a Ring-Con because Apple just announced that their ring, which looks exactly like the Oura ring, and you know it's going to be, you know, top of the line. So here's something that's interesting. Apple filed a patent for their Apple ring in 2015. So that's 9 years ago. So they have been working on perfecting this ring for almost a decade to track your everything, your temperature, your calories, your steps, all that stuff. So all y'all who've been like, I've been thinking about, I don't know how much it's going to cost and it hasn't been released yet. Samsung also just released theirs, but I've heard the Samsung ring doesn't connect to the iPhone. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. It's just an app, but either way, good job. If you never bought yourself, you never bit the bullet and bought yourself a ring, because that Apple ring is going to be money, honey. I can't wait for that to arrive. Okay, so today we get a package in the mail from Lumi deodorant, and Brett's like, that's for me. I'm like, no, it's not. They are a show sponsor. They're probably sending me new product. He's like, no, I just placed an order with them. I'm like, for the starter pack? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, please, for the love, tell me you used our code. We get a discount when you order with our code. And I knew he had not. Listen, their starter pack, if you've never used Lumi, is the way you want to go. It's perfect for new customers. With the starter pack, you get like a solid stick deodorant. You get their cream tube deodorant. You get their mini body wash, their deodorant wipes, all of those things, so that you can figure out which of those are your favorites. But Brett Johnson, of course, forgot to use the discount code, which you will not. So go to LumiDeodorant.com. This is the deodorant you can use on any part of your body, whether it's your pits or your body rolls or anywhere where you want to block odors. You can put Lumi deodorant. It's completely safe. And you get 15% as a listener of the Chalene Show. So don't forget to enter code Chalene, because if you do the starter kit, which I highly recommend, you're going to get 40% off. It's LumiDeodorant.com. Again, LumiDeodorant.com. Don't forget to enter code Chalene for your 40% off if you're going to do the starter kit, which I highly recommend if you're a new customer. I also have been playing with the, what do you call them? The walking pads, the underdesk low, they're super low cost. They're called a walking pad or an underdesk treadmill, because a lot of ladies did that when they did the walking challenge with me. And I want to be able to recommend one, and they're a little tricky. Like I'm not ready to recommend, because I mean, I gave you guys a list of the ones that everybody else recommended, but I also wanted to do my own review. And it is a little tricky. It's different from a regular treadmill because there's like nothing to hold on to. So I'm going to do like a whole review of the walking treadmill plus the, to put it under a desk. I think that makes a difference, where you can just to have something up a little bit higher. I find that it helps with your line of sight. Otherwise you're kind of looking down the whole time to figure out where you are, or you could just like fall off the treadmill. It's hard to explain. I've got to find a better way to explain this. But anyways, I've ordered a couple of them. And they're pretty cool. I cannot believe how lightweight and how easy they are. They don't even have to assemble them. You just open up the box and plug it in. It's freaking amazing. So that's coming. There's a lot of things that are coming. There's a lot of things that I needed to get done in the last 3 days that I have not been able to. But we'll get there. You know, the other thing that's got me so far behind, and I just want to address this, because I did get one comment and I was like, oh, wow. I think sometimes when you're just venting, it can be, definitely can be misinterpreted. So, and that's fine. But I also want to explain sometimes if I get misinterpreted. So I think I told you I'm doing this deep dive on Patreon, and I'm doing it on the Dave and Rachel Hollis story, and very, very different from all the other content creators who've done their story, because I feel so connected to their story because it felt so parallel in many ways to Brett and I. Like, I think I mentioned this before, that like they're like 10 years younger than us, just ran in some of the same circles, the New York Times bestselling book, the Daily Journal, the QVC appearances, the kids, the tall guy, short girl, spoke on a lot of the same stages, network marketing, like, you know, it feels very parallel. And so I have felt like people really listen. And I'm not my explanation and my deep dive in it, I'm sharing things that the average content creator would have no way of knowing and no way of understanding, because you haven't lived it. And so I didn't know if people would resonate with this, and it's not like I'm trying to defend them. I just want to share my kind of take on what happened in their situation from our perspective, from Brett and I's perspective. And I thought I would do like maybe one or two episodes and I'd be done. But the more I searched and the more I like did my research and watched their old videos and all, and I'm just like, this is so fascinating and interesting and scary and relatable and also unrelatable. And it's just a really interesting take on it. And so I was telling those of you who are listening to it that it's weird. because I feel a little bit like some of the things I'm talking about with them observationally is how they got to a place where for sure they're working too much. And that Rachel, in my opinion, is probably took on every single possible thing and thought, okay, well, that'll be quick. Okay, that won't take long. Okay, I'll say yes to this. I'll say yes to this. I'll say yes to this. And you can do that and then suddenly realize, like, you can't. And then you become resentful and angry and tired. And I can relate to that. I can. And as I'm recording this series on them, the irony is that I thought it would only take me like a couple of hours. And each episode has probably taken me no less, and I'm not exaggerating, no less than 20 to 25 hours of research each week and recording and checking and, you know, because you don't want to get it wrong. But it's also like so much of it, I have to like go back into my own archives and look at like, what was I doing? Oh, who was this? And how did that happen? And what about this? You know what I mean? And so the irony is I'm looking at the mistakes and missteps and some of the quicksand that they stepped into. And I'm like, and I'm in it while I'm doing this. Like to explain like some of the things that they did, I've fallen into that. Like I'm spending way, way, way more time than I thought and still trying to say yes to everybody else and everything else and all of our different brands and our businesses and blah, 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 blah. And you know, all the things. And so it's like a kind of a gift to me because it's making me realize like it's choice. And it's also such a slippery slope to, because like the slippery slope for me right now is everybody is going crazy over the series. Like I have people who would never ever join Patreon. I mean, I'm talking like random people that I once met, bigwig people, influencers who would never listen to my podcast. And they're like texting me going like, I am dying. This is so good. Shalene, you have to keep going. You have to keep going. So I'm getting all this praise, right? And I'm getting all these accolades and that becomes addicting. It becomes like, oh yeah, people are really liking this. I gotta do more. I gotta do a better job of it, you know? But it's $5 a month. You know what I mean? And actually most of the people who have joined are doing like a free trial. So it's not like and what am I doing? Well, I'm falling into the trap that I am creating the series to help people avoid falling into that trap. So it's very eye-opening for me. I need to be self-aware and I need to slow my pace down and I need to rethink some of the things that are on my schedule. I need to rethink some of the, you know, just even people I have in place on my team who sometimes I'm like, you know, I'll just do it for them. It's no big deal. Like, you know, it's okay. I don't want to bug them. I'm the CEO, and I've hired somebody to whatever, clean the toilets. I did not just say that. I'm the CEO and I've hired this person to do this like entry level job. And I'm like, but I don't want to bug them. I can just do it myself. And I can just do this myself. And you know what? I can do this myself. I can do this myself too. And you know what? Let me just add on this. Like, so I've got to get better at self-regulation and I will. By the way, I know I have talked to you endlessly about the importance of taking magnesium. If you don't have that figured out, go to Google and just type in benefits of magnesium, type in the side effects when you are deficient in magnesium, and you don't have to take my word for it. But what's really important that you understand is magnesium isn't just one type of magnesium. There are 7-8 different types of magnesium that you need to be taking. So when you buy your supplement from CVS or some drugstore or even Whole Foods, you're not likely getting all the magnesium that you need. That is why I am regularly. That is why I am such a big proponent of Bioptimizer. It's the brand that I found when I figured out I was deficient in magnesium, that I was suffering from osteopenia, like soft, brittle bones. Not cute. I was doing all the right things, but I did not have enough magnesium in my diet. And it's likely you are deficient in magnesium as well, which is why I asked Bioptimizers to be a regular sponsor of the Chalene Show. Their supplements are best in class. If for any reason you don't feel like you got exactly what you needed, if you don't feel differently after taking one of their supplements, how about this? You get a full refund. No questions asked. They're that confident in their products. They give you a 365-day money-back guarantee. Plus, if you use code Chalene, you're going to get gifts plus 2 travel-sized bottles of Magnesium Breakthrough. So be sure to take advantage of this limited-time offer. Go to bioptimizer.com/Chalene. It's bioptimizer, OPTIMIZERS.com/Chalene. But here's another thing about self-regulation that I have recognized, and I'm curious if I don't know if this is an ADHD thing, but I feel like it is. I can't do any, and this is, I've been this way from as long as I can remember. Probably the first time I recognized it was in my like early 20s, maybe even like 18 or 19, like when I moved out of my house with my parents and I had a job and going to college. That's when I, you know, realized it the first time, and it just never got better. And it's always been this thing where I can't do the thing I know I need to do for work or for school or whatever it was if things are out of place in my house. If I, true story, there is a washcloth, a black washcloth folded, sitting on one of our windowsills at the house right now, and I can't stop thinking about it because I walked past it like 5 times and I knew the housekeeper was there today. She comes once a week. Sweet lady that cleans my toilets. I'm just kidding. Anyway, but she really was there. And I remember I walked past and I'm like, oh, she probably put that there. She's probably going to do something with it. But now it's stuck in my head. I'm at the, sitting in the parking lot at the gym talking to you, and the first thing I'm going to need to do when I get home is put that washcloth where it belongs. And I'm also thinking about the fact that some of the plants in the house have leaves that are dying, and those need to be clipped. And also there's this like pile of cords over by the treadmill and where the Wi-Fi router is. And it's just a mess of cords. And there's that. Okay. And then also there's these like little rust stains in the marble countertop, or whatever stone, whatever, I don't know what kind of natural stone it is in the bathrooms of this house that we're in, but there's almost like these like little rust spots. And I have so many things I need to do work-wise, but I won't be able to do any of my work until those stupid things are taken care of, which is why, and I know, I feel like I'm like now really censoring the things that I say because I'm doing this series because, like, I know one of the things people like really ripped Rachel about a part about was like that she didn't acknowledge her privilege. But like acknowledging your privilege also means like, yeah, I know I'm privileged, and also I have certain privileges because I worked my butt off. Like, and that's a true thing. That's a true statement. So one of the privileges that I have is we have a house manager. Jessie lives with us. She lives in the casita, and Jessie takes care of all the things I just mentioned if she sees them, right? And 90% of them she sees. But if you're a freak like me, you see all the little things. Like the little tiny details will distract the hell out of me. Everybody else is watching the movie, and all I can notice is that that's weird. In the last scene, she was wearing tennis shoes that didn't have laces. And now in this scene, she's wearing tennis shoes that do have laces. And I can't pay attention to the plot line now because I'm like, who is it on the staff of this movie that didn't pick up on that continuity? that they changed her shoes. And now I'm like, did that person get fired? So I've lost the plot of the movie. My point is this. I'm easily distracted by all the little details. And if all the little details aren't right, it's hard for me to get into my work zone. And so because of that, that's one of the reasons why we have a house manager. It's just Brett and I. There's no like dirty laundry to do. There's not that much to do. But it's these little things that, like the washcloth on the windowsill, like the uncoiled cords, that if somebody else is taking care of those things, I can do my thing. I know this is a neurodivergent thing. I know it is. So some of you can totally relate, and some of you are like, wow, that is a trip. But I don't care if it's just like five people. I know that there's like someone who's listening right now that's like, this is me. This is my, you have just described my brain and you feel relieved. And it is it's a part of being whatever type of neurodivergence, wherever you are in that spectrum, it can feel really, really debilitating. And so you have to find ways to cope with it. And I'm really fortunate enough that we can afford to have that support around me. Like I can afford to have somebody who takes care of all those little details so I can actually do the thing I need to do. Because sometimes when I try to explain this stuff to Brett, he's like, Shalene, just don't even worry about it. I'm like, I get it. It's really nice to say. I don't want to worry about it. And I don't want to think about it. But I can't. It's like an itch. The itch is so bad you feel like you just want to scratch your face off if that thing doesn't get taken care of, if that little detail is still like that. And it's as weird as that is to some of you, it's equally as weird to those of us who experience this that you don't see those little things. And I wonder, like, how nice must life be if you can just, you can just block those things out and do what you need to do. It must be awesome. The way my husband can just like not pay attention to stupid little things that distract me, I'm like, wow, what must that be like? How do you do that? Like when he can walk into a Target, how any of you can go into like a store, like a Costco or a Target or a Walmart or like any big store, and go in to get one thing and leave. How? Just how? I'll never understand it. Okay, I'm going to go get my workout. Please stay here. I'll be right back. Aw, yay. Thank you so much for staying. You're so sweet. I appreciate you. I'm so happy. I'm like a different girl. The woman who recorded the first 34 minutes, should I like re-record it? Because I'm a different person right now. That was like Debbie Downer, so negative. I do apologize. You're probably like, although you probably did enjoy my, the reason why I have post-traumatic cruise disorder. But I tell you what, you go to the gym and you lift heavy weights and you put on the right playlist and everything is good in the world. How is that? I mean, it's the best drug. Now listen, actually, I have taken an anti-anxiety medication. One time, my ADHD doctor suggested that I take a break from Adderall and do, I think it was Wellbutrin or something. And I'm like, what? Why? It did not help at all. And I was like, I feel nothing, and this is why. If that works for some of you, great. But anyways, I swear, exercise is my drug. It's amazing how much the world's problems melt away. All the things I was like pissed off at and all the things I was mad about and complaining about before I just left you, before I went to the gym. I do apologize because I don't even care about any of those things now. Remember those 95 things I told you that I need to do? I literally was going to go get my workout and then I was just going to, you know, pout my way back home and work until 1 a.m. to get them all done. And you know what? I just sent my husband a text. I'm like, let's go to dinner. And he's like, I thought you had a bunch of work. I'm like, I do, but who cares? Because literally, I mean, so I have team members who are waiting on certain things and they're not going to get them, which means then the customer's not going to get them, which means then we won't get those sales or we'll have customers upset. But like, you know what? Life is too short. And I really am very freaking serious about the reduction of stress. I have no interest and being so stressed out that my body holds on to fat. I done that. I ain't going back. So I had a great time at the gym. It was all dudes tonight. There's like maybe two girls, and that's not why I had such a great time. But I just have to say, ladies, of a certain age, we know who we are. When you know what you're doing in the weight room, you really know what you're doing. And you think to yourself, you know what? I've been using this equipment before most of these yahoos were even born. They were in diapers. They were in diapers when I was making fitness videos. So I triple dog dare you to come over here and mansplain to me how I'm doing. Like, it cracks me up whenever a guy will do that. Like, they'll be like, oh, you know, that machine. I'm like, oh, really? That's funny. That's so cute. You're so cute. That is adorable. It just makes me feel so confident and so happy and so strong and so confident. Did I seriously say that? And just, I don't know. If you don't lift heavy weight, and I'm talking about like heavy, like the kind of weights you can't have, you probably don't have at your home unless you have the machines. Like free weights, you just can't go heavy enough with free weights the way you can go super heavy at the gym with machines, because usually our hands can't even hold. I can't hold the kind of weights that you can hold if you have a machine to do the squats and stuff. And it is really remarkable what it does for your mood. It sets off endorphins. I know I'm preaching to the choir for some of you, but some of you are like, yeah, I've been thinking about strength training. Listen, ladies, this is our 2.0 season. Oh, here's another awesome thing that happened while I was at the gym. I also got this voicemail message from my friend, Sean Cannell. He's a YouTube guy. Okay, so I'm gonna tell you the story real quick. So he's a YouTube guy, and I spoke at his big YouTube summit, whatever you call it, last year and the year before. And it's called Grow With Video. And the audience was filled with what I would call YouTube bros. Like, I love Sean. He is my, literally, he feels like a brother to me. I love him so much. He's like one of my favorite humans. And I think he's just so funny. And so I'm like, of course I'll speak at it. But I get there and the audience is filled with 20 and 30 something YouTube bros. And they don't give a shit who I am. And, you know, or I'm just this old lady, right? And I came to talk to them about Instagram. And like Gary Vaynerchuk was there and Alex Hormozi. You understand what I'm saying? Like the names I'm saying to you, these are like Greek gods to the men in this audience. Like they were just like salivating over all the other lineup of speakers. And then like old lady comes on the stage dancing, thinking she's cool. That's me. But you know, I schooled them a little bit on Instagram. But when I left it last year, I said, like when I go to a conference like that, like I take notes. And you, listen, you are here. I'm about to brag. You have been here from the beginning. And you know that a year ago, I said, I am going to figure out YouTube. I like video. I'm good on video. I prefer to talk on video. Like I love it, but I just can't figure it out. Why can't I make YouTube pop? Why can't I figure out how to do it in such a way that doesn't kill me? Right? And so I took all the notes and I did all the things that I learned at the conference and I have studied and I've, you know, I even hired a coach. She coaches us once a month. And if I do say so myself right now, I'm freaking killing it on YouTube. We are crushing. We've gained like 100,000 followers. No, like 150,000 followers, I think, in the last year. And so I get this message from, am I bragging? I guess I am, but give me a minute, okay? So while I'm in the gym in a bad mood, well, I started off being in the bad mood. Then I get a message from Sean. It was this really long message. And he's like, you are freaking killing it. Like you, this year, can you please come back and talk about YouTube? Like everyone's channels are down. All these young kids, like people are quitting. They are getting burnt out. They're walking away from their channels. People cannot figure out why they can't get subs. They're losing subscribers. Like just views are down. But Shalene, what are you doing? You're killing. I'm like, I'll tell you what. I've most of my colleagues have aged out. They've just are like, I'm done. I'm not. They've just given up. They're not doing YouTube. They're like, it's for young people. And I just keep showing up. And guess what? There aren't very many women my age making YouTube videos. So, and older. So if you want to like, if you are over 40 and female and you want to crush it, I'm telling you, YouTube, there's just not enough of us. It's fun. Go do it. Anyways, it was like such an ego stroke of a message to get because I was thinking about the year before where I was just like, like, what's she gonna talk about? You know what I mean? And this year I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna school these little twerps and show me you don't have to. I film on my iPhone. You don't have to buy a DSLR camera and buy expensive lights and, like, just keep it basic. I guess you do if you don't have much. Sorry, I'm cleaning out my car so we can walk inside. I guess you do have to have all the fancy lights and all the fancy equipment and fancy microphone and all those things if your message is not strong enough. But, if you know what you're talking about and you know who you're talking to, I'm talking to you, people don't really care about those things so much. My lights are like $20 lights I got on Amazon. Although I just did get some really nice lights. And I'm excited to use those. But anyways, that was that. All right, we are going to force Jessie to go out to dinner with us. Jessie, our house manager. She is gorgeous. She's beautiful. She's darling. She's 36 years old. And I think she's afraid of boys. And because I'm like, Jess, like, go over there and talk to those boys. Because she keeps saying she wants like a boy. I want to meet my husband. I go, well, he's not hanging out in our house. So you're going to have to leave the house sometimes. She's got legs that are longer than the, like, Empire State Building. And she is Benjamin Button. She goes to bed at 9 o'clock and sleeps for like 12 hours. I'm like, this is not going to land you a husband, sister. We got to get you out. So we told her tonight, we're like, okay, you're going to, and she goes, where can I buy those dresses? Like the ones you have from Revolve. I go, I'm not going to tell you until you can prove to me that you'll actually wear one and go out. Like, if I look like that and I'm 36 years old, she looks like 26. And I had, like, I would be sitting at the bar having a drink by myself, and I would be reading a book on how to flirt. So we're tonight, not like I know how to flirt, but I'm saying, like, that's what I would learn. I would learn how to do that. The other day she was like, oh, that boy at the gym. She was like, he's so cute. And I'm like, yeah, he's kind of cute. And she's like, so anyways, we find his, you know, that age group, they're good at doing the social media investigating. And so she looks him up and she finds his IG and she sends it to me. And I'm like, well, I'm pretty good too. So I scrolled back. And I'm like, wait a second. It wasn't too long ago that he was posting pictures from high school, which means this boy is like 22 years old. And she's like, he is. I'm like, see, we have to find you a man closer to your age. So again, we're going to have to practice. I told her how to flirt at the gym because she's like my little protege. I can take her to the gym and, like, make her do leg day with me. And I taught her the, hey, do you mind if I work in with you? Do you know about that, you guys? Did I already tell you guys about that? You know about that. But, like, there's other ways you can flirt at the gym too. And that's a good place because that's where she's going to meet someone who's also into health and fitness. She's going to be able to see their physique. She's going to be able to tell if they're active. You know what I mean? Like, that's a great place to meet somebody who's interested in the same kinds of things that you're interested in. So another thing you can do is, like, you can just play damsel in distress. Like, hi, do you mind? Could you pull that weight off for me? Because it's, like, really hard with my nails. You know, something like that. Or excuse me. Are you using this machine? You just ask questions. Make eye contact. That's all. Like, I know. Anyways, do you guys have any good suggestions on books or podcasts that can teach her how to flirt? Because right now, if a boy looks at her, she turns red and looks away. It's the cutest thing. It's the cutest thing. So Kristen is her mom. So Kristen, if you're listening to this, my goal is to find your daughter an eligible man who literally is going to have to be almost perfect to pass muster with Brett and I, because Jess is like a daughter to us. So we'll see if we can make that happen. I don't know if it's going to happen tonight because we're going out to sushi, but we'll see. All right. I love you. I mean it. And I will talk to you soon.